Immune dysregulation could be the tipping point for long COVID. By Court Johnson, June 11th, 2025. Big studies do take a village, and this recent preprint called Persistent Immune Dysregulation and Metabolic Alterations Following SARS-CoV-2 Infection certainly did. One nice thing about this village was the collaboration. It was led by NIH researchers with help from the mighty LIINC Long COVID Project at the University of California at San Francisco, UCCF. Peer down the list of authors and funders, and you'll see that the study was conceived by National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIAID, by researchers at the National Institutes of Health, NIH. A nice sign. Involved several other labs and research institutes there, it was funded by no less than five NIH grants, plus help from the PolyBio Foundation. And to top it off, involved six researchers from the UCSF, including Michael Peluso and Timothy Henrich, and a whole bunch of LIINC study participants. It took a village, indeed, and no wonder. The study did comprehensive cellular and transcriptional immunometabolic profiling. To be sure, there's no way a study can be truly comprehensive. There are just too many possibilities now. But this study did a lot. It examined inflammatory biomarkers, interleukin, IB, and IL-18, tumor necrosis factor A, or TNFA, interferon gamma-induced protein, 10, or IP-10, soluble urokinase, plasminogen activator receptor, or SUPAR, and eotaxin. It also examined mitochondrial superoxide assay, which has to do with inflammation. It examined intracellular GSH levels, an antioxidant. It did a non-targeted metabolomics analysis, i.e. an open-ended analysis. It also examined flow cytometry, including cell typing, assessing the types of immune cells present. Single-cell RNA sequencing analysis, small group, the most precise kind of gene expression analysis. And finally, DNA methylation, epigenetic analysis. Now that's the kind of complex, multi-systemic study that's attempting to match these complex, multi-systemic diseases somewhat. That's the value of NIH studies, in particular. And let's hope none of these researchers or their research have been affected by the funding cuts at the NIH. Somehow, LIINC found 30 people who had never been exposed to the SARS-CoV-2 virus, and then contrasted them to 38 people who recovered from COVID-19 and 58 people with long COVID. Results. Winnowing the wheat from the chaff? The fact that the study included healthy controls who had not been exposed to COVID-19 gave the researchers the opportunity to contrast them with healthy people who'd come down with COVID-19 and then recovered. This is an important question because we know that being exposed to a virus, whether one recovers or not, can have profound effects on the immune system with certain pathogens. Cytomegalovirus infections, for instance, leave a particularly strong lasting imprint on the immune system, even in those who recover from them. Simply being infected with the virus reduces immune diversity, accelerates immune aging, and promotes chronic inflammation over the long term. People with long COVID may be similar in kind, but different in degree from recovered COVID-19 patients, that is, they both could exhibit similar biological abnormalities, but the abnormalities are more severe in the long COVID patient. Or the long COVID patients could be different in kind, that is. Something quite distinct happened to them as a result of being exposed to the virus. It turned out that both were true. In some ways, people with long COVID looked very similar to those who recovered, and in some ways, they were distinct. Complicating the picture a bit, in this study, is that the researchers sometimes, through several epigenetic tests, immune exhaustion markers, mitochondrial reactive oxygen species, lipid peroxidation, and plasma biomarkers, either put both the recovered and long COVID patients in the same basket, called COVID-19, or did not show the long COVID group results. Kissing cousins? The recovered COVID-19 and long COVID patients. Talk about strange relations. Simply having a COVID-19 infection, even if a person was fully recovered from it, produced dramatic and quite familiar changes. In several ways, recovered COVID-19 patients looked very much like long COVID patients, but were very different from the people who had never been exposed to the coronavirus. In short, some of the processes that led to long COVID persisted in recovered patients. The recovered COVID-19 group had, quote, remarkably decreased, end quote, tryptophan levels, hyperactive monocytes that are spitting out inflammatory mediators, high levels of inflammatory lipid byproducts, altered metabolic gene expression, activated inflammasomes, higher caspase 1-4-5 activity and plasma ILIB levels, increased T cell activation, and increased oxidative stress. Despite being well, their systems had undergone tremendous changes. One wonders if some of these people are being set up for a case of long COVID, ME/CFS, when some other stressor tips the balance against them. All the above abnormalities have been found in ME/CFS and or long COVID patients. In some of these results, though, a difference in degree is found. Long COVID patients presented with an even further drop in tryptophan. A significant association between mite SOX, or oxidative stress, and intracellular levels of a regulatory molecule called P16INK4A that tamps down oxidative stress was found, and so were elevated suPAR levels associated with increased inflammation and tryptophan degradation. The drastic tryptophan decrease in the long COVID patients got the author's attention. They attributed it to persistent gut damage caused by the coronavirus, as well as the increase in arachidonic acid that was found. Problems with tryptophan metabolism have been a focus of research in ME/CFS and fibromyalgia for years. A regression analysis using the lipid findings provided additional insights into long COVID patients. Lipids are fatty compounds that play important roles, well, almost everywhere, including energy production, many intracellular processes, and cellular signaling. They make up much of the cell's membranes, which means they're exposed to virtually everything the cell touches and are at particular risk from oxidative stressors. They're also particularly abundant in the nervous system and brain. With reduced levels of two good lipids that are associated with beneficial cardiovascular, neurological, and anti-inflammatory effects, the recovered COVID-19 patients weren't exactly in great shape lipid-wise, but at least they weren't hurting. Increased levels of two pro-inflammatory lipid byproducts, arachidonic acid, and 11-12-DIHETRE in the long COVID group, on the other hand, indicated that the long COVID patients were hurting, that is. At high levels, arachidonic acid is a nasty piece of work. Liberated from cells that have become injured, think free radicals tearing little chunks out of the cellular membranes. It's metabolized via a variety of pathways into several inflammatory mediators, including prostaglandins, inflammation, pain, and fever, and leukotrienes, inflammatory mediators. Worth and Scheibenbogen believe high levels of prostaglandins and bradykinins are wreaking havoc in ME/CFS patients' blood vessels. In all, it seemed like long COVID patients might have more inflammation, oxidative stress, and lower tryptophan levels than the recovered COVID patients. Was that enough to tip someone with COVID-19 into a long COVID patient? Perhaps. We hadn't gotten to the T cells or the monocytes yet, though. Dysregulated immune system indeed. Only in the T-cell analysis did the long COVID patients really begin to pop out. Elevated P16INK4A and killer cell immunoglobulin-like receptors, or KIRS, and lower CD57 expression in one CD8 T-cell subset suggested they were approaching senescence, i.e. were in a dysfunctional, aged state. Not only are these T-cells less able to find and attack pathogens, they're also highly pro-inflammatory. Ouch! A small single-cell RNA sequencing gene expression analysis showed once again how important single-cell analysis are in these diseases. It indicated that the T-cells in the long COVID patients displayed distinct biological processes, indicating that sustained T-cell activation leading to exhaustion was present. Similarly, numerous pathways involving monocytes, endocytosis, response to external stimuli, regulation of inflammatory responses, cytokine-mediated signaling pathway, and myeloid activation were downregulated in the long COVID patients. The two findings were of a pair. Monocytes tended to be immature and lacked the ability to survey pathogens, while the T-cells appeared to be aged, highly activated, and heading for senescence. Now we really had something. Noting that they've found exhausted CD8 T-cells in a prior study, the authors reported, this confirms a profoundly altered myeloid profile in long COVID. Their conclusion that the innate and adaptive immune systems were not playing well together jives with many past findings, including NATH's intramural ME/CFS study. Quote, our data suggest that an unbalanced innate and adaptive immune recovery following SARS-CoV-2 infection leads to a senescent phenotype with impaired CD8 function, potentially contributing to long COVID symptoms. End quote. NATH's intramural ME/CFS study. AI perplexities take. Of course, I had to ask AI perplexity what it thought about this. When asked about the significance of these immune findings, AI perplexity was on the same track. It reported that they indicated a, quote, profound immune dysregulation with implications for infection control, inflammation, and disease progression, reflecting a shift toward immune tolerance or exhaustion. Furthermore, this imbalance is central to pathologies like cancer, diabetes, and sepsis, highlighting monocytes as a key therapeutic target for restoring immune homeostasis. End quote. Treatment. The authors reported that the viral persistence, immune activation, mitochondrial dysfunction, and metabolic derangements seen all represented potential treatment targets. Regarding the increased oxidative stress and inflammasome activation, they suggested supplements and immune modulators such as baricitinib, on which there is a big long COVID study underway, that act upstream of the inflammasome and other inflammatory pathways. They noted that herpes virus's reactivation or increased levels of coagulation could limit the use of some treatments. One survey study found that combining L-arginine with vitamin C, 2 vials per day of L-arginine at 1.66 grams plus 500 milligrams of liposomal vitamin C might be helpful. And there's a link to that in the text version of the article. A blog is coming up on natural anticoagulants. The authors also called for assessing immunomodulators, which can regulate autophagy and cellular senescence, and influence arachidonic acid levels, and have anti-tumor activity, but will not reactivate the herpes virus. That seemed like a tall order indeed, but rapamycin and other mTOR inhibitors, though, fit that bill, and several ME/CFS and long COVID studies are underway. When asked which mTOR inhibitors can regulate autophagy and cellular senescence, influence AA metabolism, and have anti-tumor activity without reactivation of herpes viruses, AI perplexity agrees with rapamycin and rapalogs, and added mTORC1, mTORC2 kinase inhibitors such as TORIN1 and second-generation mTOR KIs with improved selectivity. Conclusion. All in all, this most interesting study uncovered a couple of surprising things. Whether healthy or still ill, the brush with the coronavirus left quite a mark. Many of the same processes, very decreased tryptophan monocyte activation, high levels of inflammatory lipid byproducts, altered metabolic gene expression, increased T-cell activation, increased oxidative stress, believed to underlie long COVID pathology, are present in recovered COVID-19 patients as well. In some cases, such as tryptophan reduction and inflammatory processes involving lipids, the pathology appears to be significantly more severe in people with long COVID. Just what tipped people with COVID-19 into long COVID patients wasn't clear, and it still isn't. But the immune cell analysis, and in particular, the single cell gene expression tests, highlighted some powerful immune differences. Overly activated and aged T cells paired with immature monocytes suggested that a profound immune dysregulation present in long COVID was not found in the recovered COVID-19 patients. That suggested that more profound immune dysregulation could be the straw that breaks the camel's back in these diseases. On the treatment side, it was good to see baricitinib, metformin, and rapamycin show up again. Please support Health Rising and keep the information flowing. You can give a one-time donation or give monthly at the yellow links between the end of the article and the beginning of the comment section. Thanks for listening.